In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
Today is one of the themes of today is the exile of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And in the very short story within Genesis 3 and Genesis 2, talks about how man was created and then goes on to talk about the disobedience of Adam and Eve, which ultimately leads to them hiding from God and then, as a consequence, being exiled from the garden. The image of Adam and Eve before the fall, of what that were presented by the fathers and commentators of the church, is of two people who are in relative perfection. They're at harmony with the world around them. They're at harmony with the animals. They're at harmony with nature, with themselves. They're at harmony with God. And then a more interior aspect of this is that they're within themselves. They are not divided. They are not distracted. That they are centered beings who know what is right and know priorities and have, when they view through the lenses of their hearts, there's a purity there that does not divide them. And so they're exiled. We know that thorns and thistles and labor, painful labor, as consequences of the fall. But the fathers also mention that another consequence of the fall is that their souls became divided within themselves. You know, the spiritual eye of man, in Greek called the nous, sometimes called the heart, but what we are to understand as our center, our spiritual center, the place where human beings commune with God, before the fall was pure and focused and fully connected with God, but after the fall, it wanders, and all of the patristic literature and the monastic literature is actually focused on somehow recentering and re-purifying our hearts so that they see correctly and act correctly. And so in the next day, we'll be entering into the great fast. And you might ask yourself, why is it that this fast? Why do we have to do this? Well, as our heart has wandered, and as it's dispersed over many things, one of the things that it is certainly dispersed over is this obsession with survival and this obsession with comfort. Survival is what causes me to be fat, actually, believe it or not. Because it's not enough for some of us just to simply eat food. We have to store it up for later in case there's a day without. Beyond mere survival, as our attention of our heart wanders, it grabs on to various idolatries and various things that bring it pleasure. For some of us, we worship our bodies, not because we eat too much food, because we spend so much time obsessing about our physicality. For some of us, it's book after book, and we're so given to our intellect that we actually never are able to get into our hearts. For some of us, we're so soulish and needy that we're seeking love, as the song says, in all the wrong places, that we're lustful and that we yearn to be filled, but we are always trying to fill ourselves with things that are not Christ and things that are temporal and things that ultimately lead to our death. And this is the division that is mentioned. The Apostle Paul says that, you know, although he knows what he would like to do, he does the opposite. And although he knows what not to do, he goes and he does it anyways. And so within our souls, we are bitterly at times divided within ourselves. And most often, because nowadays we can be entirely distracted by everything, it is a great blessing that modern people actually have something that's new, which is leisure time. that you don't have to be wealthy to have leisure. On the other hand, what we've done with that leisure is we've entirely absorbed ourselves with the various forms of entertainment that are ever present and inundate our soul and basically create spiritual attention deficit disorder. And that's the ultimate problem of our hearts. It's always outside of us. It's always wandering on some topic or some place. We're trying to somehow fill a hole with material that can't really be filled with material, because material is not living, it's dead. So this is one of the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve. And Lent is given to you as an opportunity, as a tithe of your year, to try to withdraw from the world and to try to focus on making your heart attentive and prioritizing the spiritual life. In today's gospel, the last line was, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And our treasure as Christians is supposed to be, or we are taught that it's supposed to be, that it is seeking the kingdom of heaven. That seeking the kingdom of heaven is the axis of the wheel of our lives, and that everything that we do in our lives is supposed to be centered on the vision of growing closer to Christ and being sanctified and transformed and becoming more authentically human in our pursuit of Christ. That's the center of our life, and it doesn't matter what your other secondary vocations, that center is what is supposed to inform us. And so Lent gives us an opportunity to fight against the belly and say, no, I'm not going to let the belly have me as my own belly as a slave. It gives us an opportunity to not be distracted by entertainment, by putting away entertainment. It gives us an opportunity to, and an excuse to spend time reading, listening to spiritual podcasts, some form of nourishment and self-feeding, reading the Bible. It gives us a great excuse for all these things. But the goal is ultimately that we may enter into a paradisical state, a state where our soul comes to itself, reunites within itself, and becomes focused on Christ. Now, if you spend just a little time attempting this during this Lenten season, some of you may encounter and come to a point where you feel more interior and where you start to feel more connected. The next thing that you will be surprised to find is that some of the distractions that we have and all these various things we use that disperse our hearts are there primarily so we can avoid being within ourselves. And so when you become within yourself, you have another layer of a problem, which is that you have to deal with what's actually in your heart. You see, the distracted man, the man who is dispersed everywhere, we don't really know what's going on the inside. You know, it's just, I'm here, I'm there, I'm reacting, I'm reacting, I'm acting, and I'm really just mostly trying to do what I want. But the person who becomes interior has to face the anxiety and the various dragons that lurk in our hearts. And when we come to meet these dragons, what we'll realize initially, well, number one is that we don't want to meet them, but beyond that, is that we'll need at some point forgiveness. That, you know, if you see how your heart acts, you'll realize that oftentimes you're sinning against yourself, you're sinning against other people, and of course, you're sinning against God. And so you'll want forgiveness. The other thing you'll find in your hearts, or at least I find in my heart, and I assume most people would find in their hearts, is that they will find a lot of resentments. They will find a lot of areas where they are frustrated that they have to fast, that they resent the way people treat them, that they resent I don't know, our national politics, that they resent so many various things. Because the heart that is not purified is full of resentments, and it's a file cabinet of wrongdoings. It's a memory of everything that's ever wronged us, and this is part of the dragon lurking within. Is that in our dispersed and in our brokenness and in our selfishness, everything that gets in our way is irritating. And everything that gets in my way of my will, I remember it, and I put it in my heart, and I try to guide my life in a way so that I can avoid annoying people, annoying situations, frustrations, dealing with things that I don't think I should have to deal with, whether that's dealing with God, dealing with myself, or dealing with my fellow human beings. And all of these things are simply waiting to be discovered. And so today's gospel has an interesting mixture of elements in it. Number one, the beginning is about forgiveness. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. We have to will to forgive people. If you've been majorly traumatized, you'll know or met someone who's been majorly traumatized. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. It's not always, we can't always forgive from the bottom of our hearts. But we have to want to forgive. We have to want to let people off the hook, just as we want God to deal with us mercifully. Ultimately, that's what we want. I want the IRS to forgive me for owing tax debt. I want, when I say the wrong thing to people, for them to look at me and say, well, that's just Father. God forgive him. I want people to treat me like they love me and be willing to forgive. But in order to do that, I have to also put that on. And that means when I look at other, I have to make excuses for them and try to forgive them and try to see them in their totality. But that's the beginning of today's gospel. The second part is when you fast. Don't be like the hypocrites. But why forgiveness and fasting go so well together? If you harbor resentments in your heart, and if you're unwilling to forgive, you can expend a lot of effort on fasting, a lot of effort on doing the various disciplines in the church, and they won't really do you any good. The character of the hypocrite is the Pharisee, which we heard about a few weeks ago, who, although he does all the practices and even more than what is commanded of him, he thinks he's better than everybody, and as he looks around, he's very proud that he doesn't have to be like them. And we can even go further and say at times he resents having to be in the presence of everyone who is so weak. This is what happens to many Orthodox Christians as they fast. They look around at other people and they become judgmental and they become people of a rule book and of frustration, and if only this would be done, and if only we did this, or whatever it is, there's a whole host of things that come up. And the key is forgiveness. The key is being a forgiving person. So, this lecture could go on for an hour, but I am going to cut it short and say the base points. Our hearts are dispersed. You've been given an opportunity, and you should look at Lent as an opportunity to focus on making Christ the center of the spoke of your existence. Lent is hard. The fasting is hard. When you fast properly and pray properly, you're going to encounter within yourself some brokenness. And it is very important that we learn as we fast to love one another by forgiving one another, by forgiving ourselves, and sometimes some would even say by forgiving God, because honestly, we don't fully understand God either. These are the way that God, by His Holy Spirit, will gradually purify us and utilize the fast for for our benefit. The other alternative is that we throw it all away and we just disperse ourselves, making ourselves less human, more broken, more prone to hard-heartedness, and more prone to abusing God, others, and ourselves. May God bless us this Lent to choose the path of making Him the center. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.